Chapter 11. An exciting event in our village was the arrival of the Mesmerizer. I think the year was 1850 when one named Simmons was there. He made public announcement of his show and promised wonders. It cost 25 cents to get in, children and Negroes half price. The village had heard of mesmerism in a general way, but had not seen it yet. Not many people went the first night, but the next day they had so many wonders to tell that for a couple of weeks the mesmerizer was making money. I was 14 or 15 years old, the age at which a boy will do anything to attract attention to himself, when I saw the subjects perform foolishly on the platform and make the people laugh and shout and admire. I had a burning desire to be a subject myself. Every night I sat in the row of candidates on the platform and held the magic disc in my hand and looked at it and tried to get sleepy. But it was a failure. I remained wide awake. On the fourth night I could resist no longer. When I had stared at the disc a while, I pretended to be sleepy and began to nod. Straight away came the mesmerizer and made signs with his hands over my head. He took the disc in his fingers and told me that I could not take my eyes off it, try as I might. I rose slowly and followed that disc all over the place, just as I had seen the others do. Then he put me through some other tricks. Upon suggestion, I ran from snakes, passed pails at a fire, made love to imaginary girls, fished from the platform, and so on. I was careful at first and watchful, being afraid the mesmerizer would discover I was just acting and drive me from the platform in shame. But as soon as I realized that I was not in danger, I saw more than was to be seen and added details of my own. "That you may know how wonderfully developed a subject we have in this boy," the mesmerizer said. "I assure you that without a single spoken word to guide him, he has carried out what I mentally commanded him to do to the smallest detail." I was a hero, and happier than I have ever been in this world since. As regards mental suggestion, my fears of it were gone. I judged that, in case I failed to do what the mesmerizer might be willing me to do, I could count on doing something that would answer just as well. I was right, and the mesmerizer, not being a fool, always pretended I was acting out his commands. After the fourth night, I was the only subject. Simmons invited no more candidates to the platform. I performed alone every night for 2 weeks. When the mesmerizer's engagement closed, there was but one person in the village who did not believe in mesmerism. And I was the one, and I remained a disbeliever for close upon 50 years. The truth is, I did not have to wait long to get tired of my triumphs. Not 30 days, I think. The glory that is built upon a lie becomes nothing but trouble. How easy it is to make people believe a lie, and how hard it is to undo that work again. 35 years after my performance, I visited my mother, whom I had not seen for 10 years. I thought I would confess to her my old dishonesty. It cost me a great effort to make up my mind, but I told her the truth. She simply did not believe it and said so. I was unhappy not to have my costly truthfulness believed. I kept repeating my statement that every single thing I had done in those long-ago nights was a lie. She shook her head calmly and said she knew better. And so, the lie which I played upon her in my youth remained with her an absolute truth to the day of her death. Carlyle said, "A lie cannot live." It shows that he did not know how to tell them.